Okay, I'm going to share with you a thought. So, considering the people are here, it's not me. I said it over six years ago, so I imagine I can safely assume you haven't heard it yet, right? Okay, so there's an order that the Beis Yosef has in the Rambam. Let's start with a little bit of halachic element, and then we'll move there into the Shkafa Shavoy. So the Gemara says that Mikra Megillah, if you'll tell me the term, Shishkula can I call a mitzvah, is Mavatl and Asol Yishmai Mikra Megillah. The Gemara says that you're Mavatl, Talmud Torah, to hear Mikra Megillah. So just Aga on this Gemara, so the Rishash has the Kasha, what does it mean you're Mavatl, Talmud Torah, for Mikra Megillah? Mikra Megillah is a form of Talmud Torah. So what's the Bittul Torah involved in Mikra Megillah that you're being Mavatl? Not the Talmud Torah because of Mikra Megillah. So, if you want to get a musig of the Rishash's musig of what learning means, so he says that the Gemara says that we're not sure two words in Megillah what exactly what how they translate. We're not sure what achashtronim are. We're not sure what ramachim are. So it's Bittul Torah because those two words, you don't know what those two words mean. So if you're learning something, which you're learning Gemara, you know every word. And over here, there's two words during Mikra Megillah. You're not going to know. So it's Bittul Torah for the two words. That's what Rishash is Majib Shat in the Gemara. That's the Rishash's. I think you have to be the Rishash to have that Musig of Bittul Torah to think that it's had a Shat in the Gemara. The Sefer from the Altar from Kelim, he said there's a Musig of Bittul Torah, but Be'echus, that yes, you're learning Torah, but you could be learning Torah with more of your mind engaged, and more deeper thinking. Mikra Megillah is much more on a superficial level. So it's Bittul Torah Mitzad Eichus, as opposed to Mitzad Kamas. That's how Rishash says. And the Gemara says that not only are you Mevatel Talmud Torah from Mikra Megillah, so the Gemara says, Ve'en lecha davar she'ein nidcha b'mnei Mikra Megillah el kvuras meis mitzvah bilvad. Okay, so the only thing which is there's a din of bittul that overrides Mikra Megillah is Meis Mitzvah. Because the Gemara says that Kavod Abrius is more significant than Pishumei Nisa. But the Rambam, when he brings this down, and this is the Torah quotes the Lashon of the Rambam, Shamotze Meis Mitzvah, a person is going along and finds a Meis Mitzvah, Kavroi, so he buries the Meis Mitzvah and then he reads the Mikra Megillah. That's how the Rambam learns the Gemara. Now the Gemara alone, you can learn the Gemara one of two ways. It's Gemara Megillah Daf Gimel, Amud Beis, and Daf Dalam and Alf. The more you can learn in one of two ways. The more means when the more is discussing the Mikra Megillah versus other mitzvahs, Shakal Mitzvahs Nidchem Mipnei Mipaneha. So if that's true, that we're doing all the mitzvahs because of Mikra Megillah, so what are we talking about? So we're talking about the question of which one goes first, or if in a scenario where you only have time for one, which one do you do? Both of those are relevant questions of the Gemara. I'm going to do both. So what goes first? That's one way to learn the Gemara. The other way to learn the Gemara is that if I only have time for one or the other, which one should I do? The pshut of the Gemara is mashed to learning the second way. I only have time to do one of the two mitzvahs, either Mikra Megillah or something else. So Mikra Megillah, because of the Pesumei Nisa element of Mikra Megillah, it's so chosha that it takes precedence over other mitzvahs. But the question of when you're doing both of them, which one goes first? Could be the mitzvah d'oraisa go before the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. But the Beis Yosef tells the Lashon on the Rambam, Shemoitza Meitz Mitzvah, the Gemara says, but the only exception is Meitz Mitzvah. Now, so if you're learning the Gemara, that the shaila is A or B, not A before B or B before A, but see, I only have time for one. Which one do I do? So what does the Rambam say? And why does it sort of follow the lesson of the Rambam? It says, Kovro v'chakach kare. This over here is you're only doing one, not the other. Which one do you do? So he said, so Beis Yosef is Madaik from the Rambam, that the Gemara is discussing a situation where you'll do both. It's a question of the order. So by other things, Mikra Megillah goes first, and then the other mitzvah. By Meis Mitzvah, you do Meis Mitzvah, then you do Mikra Megillah. But, that's the Beis Yosef, in a scenario where you can only do one, Mikra Megillah is Daicha Meis Mitzvah. That's how he learns up in the Rambam. That's the Beis Yosef in Tafresh Pezayan learns up in the Rambam. Now, to think about that, that's a quite an extraordinary statement, because there's a Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim goes through a series of Pesachim to learn out that Meis Mitzvah is Doicha other mitzvahs. So the Gemara comes out that by the Kohen Gadol says Leviva the Mordechai Tamar, it says he can't be matamat to anybody, and then it says he cannot be matamat to his father, to his mother, etc. So the Gemara says, oh, you already said he can't be matamat to anybody. What are you telling me? Kohen Gadol can't be matamat to his father, but he could be matamat to Meis Mitzvah. And so the Gemara goes to the final scenario of the Gemara is the person is a Nazir who is not allowed to be Matamah L'Mesim. His Kohen Gadol is not allowed to be Matamah L'Mesim. It's Erev Pesach and he's on the way to the Korban Pesach and his meal and his son's bris on the eighth day. And so the Pesach Meis Mitzvah overrides it. He's a Kohen Gadol and he's a Nazir. Mitam Kam Tameh. You're going to end up doing the Korban Pesach, do the Meis Mitzvah instead. You're going to miss your meal of Bezman of your son, do the Meis Mitzvah instead. So Meis Mitzvah is so chomer that it overrides the chi of chorus of Korban Pesach. The person is not going to bring the Korban Pesach, but that's okay, because Meis Mitzvah is more important. But Mikra Megillah versus Meis Mitzvah, Mikra Megillah goes first. It overrides. It overrides. We give it precedence to the point that if it's either Mikra Megillah or Meis Mitzvah, you do Mikra Megillah. Now, so what's the answer? Because the Morris says presuming Nisa is so significant that L'chara, it will override the concept of Meis Mitzvah. That's L'chara, the Peshat in the Gemara. The question is, we find two other places in Halacha where we have a concept called presuming Nisa. The Halacha of Dalat Kreisus is because of presuming Nisa, and Ner Chanukah is because of presuming Nisa. I mean, the more it goes through Ner Chanukah, the more it clears the Shiloh, what takes precedence if you only have enough money for Ner Chanukah versus Kiddush Hayom, so to buy wine, so what do you do? The more it comes out, there are certain things which actually will override Chanukah. You have a choice in spending money on the Suda Shabbos or the Ner Chanukah, so the Suda will override. Presuming Nisa by Megillah is overriding Kavuras Meis Mitzvah, which is more chomer than the Kohen Gadol, Nazir, Erev Pesach, losing the Korban Pesach, etc. And the Presuming Nisa of Chanukah is like so shvach that Suda Shabbos overrides it. Like, there has to be something more than just Presuming Nisa, which is telling us that you're going to give precedence to Megillah over Kavuras Meis Mitzvah. So that's the question. So there's a wonderful sefer on the Moedim. From Yehudah Zev Holberman, Zichu Lebracha. So in his sefer, Zev Yitrov, he suggests the following. He says that the reason why Mikra Megillah overrides the Mikra Megillah overrides Kavuras Meis Mitzvah, because the Mora says clearly that the Kuda of Kavuras Meis Mitzvah, the reason why it's important is because Kavod HaBrius. This is the greatest example of Kavod HaBrius the Mora can come up with, is that a person, a human being's body is lying there, Bibizoyan, not being taken care of, just lying there in the ground, with nobody to take care of it. Tremendous Bizoyan of Kavod of what mankind is, what man is, what Israel is. You can't just leave them there, you have to do something about it. So it's a question of Kavod HaBrius, we're recognizing the significance of what it means, a human being, etc. So if you think about it, There's another way we could see a bizoyan in a human being. He says, a human being, what's godless of them? Let's work all around. Well, what's the greatest expression of man? The man, which is able to think. Right? Godless of them, the greatness of man is his ability to think and to decide and make decisions and follow through those decisions. Imagine a human being which is brainwashed and forced to do something against his will. That's tremendous bizoyan ha'adam. It looks like a human being. He's in a human body. But the God, the adam is not just the goof. The greatness of man is his ability to discern right and wrong and make decisions. That's the tzelem elokim, which a human being is. He's lost the tzelem elokim. If he cannot decide, he's lost tzelem elokim. Klal Yisrael comes to Har Sinai. And Klal Yisrael chooses not to be Nishma. tremendous madrega. So Klai Yisrael came to the recognition on their own that the correct thing to do is to accept the Torah, and the Torah will now be the vehicle which will allow us to decide right and wrong and do the right thing. But it comes down to Lamaisa, the Bershim is Kavalim Harkagigas. There's some element of kefiah upon Klai Yisrael. However you understand what that kefiah is, but there's some element where Klai Yisrael did not choose it on their own volition. So there's a lack of Kavod HaAdam, as it were, in that Kabbalah. There's some element where the Tzad Malakim of Klai Yisrael is diminished, because they didn't choose themselves, they were forced into it. By Purim, there's a Har Kiblu B'mei Achashverosh, Rashi says, Me'avas HaNes, Klai Yisrael chose on their own to Mekabel the Torah, totally on their own. So it means the moment when Klai Yisrael reached the pinnacle of creation, the man became as great as man could become, was on Purim. The greatness of man was the moment of Purim that he's able, that we're able to choose without any force at all, make a decision that this is the right thing to do. That's the greatest moment of mankind. So there's a kavod ha'adam, there's a kavod ha'briyus being expressed in Purim. We need to read the Megillah, he's suggesting, and that's so important to Chazal. That is that the lesson which the Megillah is teaching us of what godless Adam is, and we should not be diminished and look at ourselves as small people, that is greater than the fact that there's a human body lying there b'bizoy and not being buried. You need to get this lesson. If a choice between one or the other, this lesson is so important that you must go and hear that lesson. Even if that means leaving a body not being taken care of. Okay, that's what he wants to suggest. I'm not sure he means the Bataris Halachadik, or Bataris Machshavadik. Al Kapanim, that's what he wants to suggest pshat in this Diyak of the Beis Yosef in the Rambam. Okay. Revolba has this Sa'ora that he quotes from Rav Huttner. The Rav Huttner says that the kefira of our generation, the kefira is in the concept of bechira. Rav Huttner writes, nowadays it's not uncommon in a court of law, in the secular world, that to the lawyer will argue that the circumstances of the way the person was brought up led him to the life of crime that he leads. He grew up in the slums and the ghetto, and he never knew any better, and he was introduced to drugs when he was young, and what do you want from him? It's not his fault. And they say, oh yeah, it's not his fault, and they let him go free. So the ability to choose under the most difficult circumstances. The guy has a twin brother who grew up in the same circumstances, and that twin brother became an upstanding citizen. Akasha. But Lamaise, it was built different than the man. He grew up in such a thing, right? That a human being could overcome his circumstances and choose the right thing no matter what, we're kaifer in it. So he says, Klai Yisrael doesn't believe in that. He says, well, sort of we do. So I say, I go over to a person and ask him, it's the middle of Yom Kippur. So how do you feel? He said, I feel so pure and so free. All these different things that I'm thinking about, they're not so important to me anymore. I really see the clarity, what's important, and I really have a plan, how I'm going to act and what I'm going to do. And he's uplifted. He's spiritually, he's cleansed. So I asked him, the next morning after Yom Kippur, he says, no. How going? He says, great, Baruch Hashem. He says, I hope it lasts. I don't think it'll last too long. He says, how long do you think you can hold on to it? I don't know. I can't hold on to it more than for a few weeks, maybe till Hanukkah, He says, do you think you can hold on to it next year? No, it's not shy. It's not shy. Hold on to it. So all right, that's Kfir and Bechira. We don't believe we can do it. We partially don't believe we can do it. We don't believe in the ability to choose. So I heard this ha'ara about Purim from the Mashgiach, and tells the Mashgiach the Mechina that he had this ha'ara. If you look at the dates of the story, so Haman comes, the letter which is sent out to destroy the Jews takes place on the Chodesh Rishon on the 13th day. So the 13th day is when the letters are sent out. Mordechai Yoda is called, Mordechai knows what happens. We start the fast of the 3 days. And Haman is hung on Tezai and Nissan. That's why some people have a minig that the who starts to keep 2 days Yom Tov, so the second Seder is already the day of Haman was hung. And in the Piyutim of the night, in the song they have at the end of the Haggadah, it mentions the fact that Haman was the Agagi was killed that night. So a minute they add a special another dish to the Suda in honor of Haman's Yahrzeit. What happened? Kleist of the Tshuva. Kleist was fasted for 3 days and three nights. They didn't. Mordechai was Vayavur Mordechai because also he was Mavatl eating on Yom Tov. He was Mavatl the Seder. He was Mavatl eating the mitzvah, the rice of matzah. He said, "Don't eat. Be Isaac and Tshuva." Now, was the Gzeir against Kleist totally rescinded? No. So you see, the Psukim say Vaita that Esther goes to Achashverosh to rescind the letters. He says the Ksav, which is Nichtav and Nechtav and Betasim Elik, you can't take it back, but you can tell the Jews they can stand, they have a right to go and stand to fight. So fast forward 11 months later, it's now your Gimel Adar, and they're fighting, and there's enemies, and Kleist wins miraculously. How they do it? The answer is that the tshuva that they did in Yud Gimel Nissen lasted until Yud Gimel Adar. Because if that tshuva had not lasted, they would not have won. So it means it was a real change. It wasn't, you know, that a Kabbalah that you make, which you hope that maybe, you know, they call it New Year's resolutions, you know, it lasts for a little bit, etc. It was a bona fide change in their mitzvahs. They were able to change the direction. Nehenu mitzvahs Achashverosh, according to the Mamshat, the Hishtach will tell them they're no longer interested in being Nehenu mitzvahs Achashverosh. They're no longer interested in Hishtach will tell them they're ready to makabel termei avos an ace, and they're ready to go. And this tshuva lasts for a year, which means it lasts. It means it's a real change. This is godless autumn. I'm not bound by my circumstances. I'm not bound by the things that I've done wrong until now. I'm not bound by anything. I could come to a clarity of understanding, and that clarity is so strong and so powerful that I can decide and stick to it with such a clarity that it lasts. And Christ is a Kabbalah, a new Kabbalah, which is a bona fide Kabbalah, which will last forever. Of Torah. That is godless order. The taking it a step weiter, Rishon Salanter talks about this. This is a strange mitzvah on Purim of Adol Yoda. So Rishon Salanter learns the pshat, which is the source of the pshat, and as they say in English, don't try this at home. He held the pshat is. Then not there's a mitzvah to drink. There's a p'tur of when you're lo yoda. There's a mitzvah to drink the whole time, the whole day. When you get to the point of lo yoda, so you're p'tur because you know you're p'tur. But as soon as you make your yoda again, you're mechuyev to drink, right? You come back to being yoda again. You know you slip it off a little bit. You wake up and say, drink again. Right? That's the Yisrael Slanter. Now Yisrael Slanter was a tzaddik. He was a nister. As much as he was a well-known Talmud Chacham, Reb Chaim Brisker said that the three biggest Ga'onim in the generation before him was his father, the Meral Diskin, and Rishon Salanter. If you know some of the stories about Meral Diskin, about his Ga'onis, like the stories about him are just like wild. Reb Chaim Brisker is putting Rishon Salanter in that same darga. So why isn't he known as a Goyin? Because he was master it. He hid his Goyinus. There was one day a year where he was not able to master his Goyinus. Because he was drunk. So on Purim, the Talmidim would Pasha gather around to hear the wisdom that he would offer, in Torah and in Chazal and everything. Just like, it was mind-boggling because he had no control, so everything just came out. So he could talk and call Tarkula. So they wanted him to ask him, and he says, you know, this is the chet about Marishan was the chet of the Eitz Hadas. He thought through something. He thought through wrong. The tikkun of Eitz Hadas is to stop thinking and just that the natural instinct of the human being is to do the right thing. So it's almost like you're testing your goof. So it's permanent the day that you test your goof, he said. So the godless Adam is not only that you can choose the right thing when your mind is in control, that's also forcing you. Is that the goof becomes so attuned to MS that the goof will choose the right thing even when the mind is not telling it what to do. That's what Purim is. Purim is so Kaddish that it's greater than the mace lying with Bizoyan. Because you need to know what Adam is. And if you never know what Adam is, you never understand what mankind is, that's a Bizoyan to mankind. Walking around thinking the way we look is what human beings look like is Pasha to Bizoyan. I mentioned to you, I think, one time that Rabbi Feitman, it's a Rav now in the Five Towns area, he used to be in Cleveland. So shortly after Mersha was Nifter, one of the conservative shuls asked him to come to speak about Rabbi Feinstein. Because I heard about this Rabbi Feinstein, you know, something. You know, he was a very eloquent speaker. He is a very eloquent speaker. So he went to ask the Shiva. The Shiva told him if they don't do the sanctuary, he could go. So he goes there, and he puts up. He has an easel. He puts a big picture of Rav Moshe on the easel, and he talks about Rav Moshe. Afterwards, one of the women comes over to him and he says, "You know, I'm just looking at the picture of this man, and I just see greatness just by looking at the picture." And this woman started, she understood, like, how does man become so great? And that started a process. This woman came from by looking at a picture of Moshe Feinstein. The godless Adam was so powerful that a picture of him could inspire somebody. And we look at people like, you know, I'm nothing personal, but, you know, I don't think looking at most of us doesn't inspire us. I said, for those so inspired looking at you. We're like, really? You know, no. So it's pushing, we don't understand what man, the godless Adam. Imagine when you saw the person. They say that the Alter Mekalim one time said, he says, when this is Darwin believes man came from monkey. It's because he never saw Yerushal Salanter. I saw Yerushal Salanter, and I know it's impossible that such a being could come from a monkey. The clarity of what it means, godless Adam, is so powerful in front of my eyes that there's no shaykes to that in a behemoth. Nebuch, what you see, Taka looks not so different than a behemoth. So for you, it's human beings, and behemoths, you know, they're cousins, you know. My wife had the experience one time. She came back from a visit with my son to the zoo when he was young. And she looked a little bit like sick to her stomach. She was standing by the monkey house, and there's a person comes by and says, "Look at our cousins." Says to their little child, like, "Look at the cousins." You know, my wife said she wanted to regurgitate. Like, you know, you're telling your children that you and the behemoths, you know, the apes are cousins. So what do you want from people when they act the way they act? That's Pasha to Bizoyan Ha'odim. But even when we're not, we know that, do we really understand what godless Ha'odim is? Do we really understand what it means? The Rishash, who says Bittul Torah, is because two words, you don't know what they mean? That's Bittul Torah, B'Vatl Talmud Torah, from Mikra Megillah, because two words, you don't know what they mean. Because otherwise, if you're learning Gemara, you wouldn't mean about those two words. Do we know what that means? But the Rishash just says it as a pshat more. Like, you know, he said what he meant, what a mean human being can do. He can learn not 60 seconds in a minute, not 60 minutes in an hour, but hours and hours and hours of total focus, total clarity. And the clarity which the Rishash has, kultur kula, he's about a bus. He had business ventures. He was a busy man. The stories about his sitkis. You know, the story about the Chavetz Chaim. You read these stories. I know all the Mussar nowadays. You know all the Mussar and all of the comments. The cynicism nowadays about art school biographies. You know, I believe it's partially Yetzer Hara. There's beautiful stories there. You know, you're not going to be like them. No, but you can get a picture of what mankind is supposed to look like. But I don't read those things because they're like pasminish, because they're not really accurate, because they don't say the bad stories. I'm smarter than that. Yeah, Torah's laughing. I got you. You could have learned what mankind is, but you're not going to read the books because, you know, it's pasminish, because you want the MS. It's a shkayach. The Yetzer Hara comes along and says, when we started buying the biographies, so we bought doubles of every single one. So Baron says, you know and I know that we were inspired to learn because we read these biographies. Says, we wanted somebody to do it too. And we actually, you know, it's not one copy, but two copies. You know, limited funds, but it doesn't make a difference. At least two copies of each one of them. Read about Rabbi Chanan, read about the Chofetz Chaim, read about the Gaon, read about Rabbi Moshe. Like, you get a picture of what mankind is. So that's the Hakdama to the Shmuz. Okay, so I said last time I want to talk about the Nois of Oil a little bit. We spoke about last week that the goddess of Esther Hamalka is that she took herself totally out of the picture. Rachel Emanu took herself out of the picture. It says not that she saw Leah. She saw Achshav that her sister is going to be Nichlam. What's going to be with me? It's irrelevant. The goddess of Rachel Emanu, that she's able to take herself out of the picture with such a clarity, just to focus on somebody else's needs. If you want to look at an example, an expression of what it means, godless of them, and Rebbe Aaron speaks about this every year, like the godless of what it means, that she's giving up eternity, as far as she knew. She's giving up all, the words eternal don't make any sense to us. What does it mean, eternity? 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 10,000 years, eternity. That a human being, that her sister, who doesn't deserve it, shouldn't be embarrassed. That's what mankind could be. So we're not holding with that madrega. That Esther comes along and does a ma'ain of that. So the morale says that's called tznius. And the Yeshua could only come because Klaiso had the meat of tznius. It means they could reach beyond the nature of man. Mitzad derech hateva, Klaiso should have been destroyed. But Klaiso had the koach of tznius to reach way beyond what it means, the teva of man, the natural inclination of man. So Barshan says, you reach the highest madrigas where I can give you the Yeshua as well. So you don't need stories about the Gedolei Hador. There's a book about a person that they call him Mike. Balabos. He gave up his business to save Yidden during the war. There's a book called Shloimi, with an exclamation point, about a person who lived a few years ago. What he didn't do to give a shirt off the back for somebody else. The godless, that take yourself out of the focus, out of the picture. Don't make you the focus of everything. And one of the challenges they have, and it's a real challenge, a bachur's avoda is to grow, to strike. So a lot of his focus is about him. And that's rightfully so. You know, always the shaylik, you know, they say over from Gedolim, if a bachur has a shaylik about chavrusis, and he got a chavrusis which he would strike more, but he could do a taiva with somebody else, he should take the chavrusis that he's going to strike more. It tells I wasn't taught like that. I had a chavrusis, I had a very good chavrusis. We're learning together second Seder. Somebody else needed a chavrusis. She asked me to give up. So I said, he says, you know what? So split up half the Seder. Every bach was expected to have a younger chavrusis. Every yomam was expected to learn about Balabatin. A yomam, we were expected to take a chrys with the younger bachur. There's a musig of being trained and taught to look beyond yourself, to think beyond yourself, not just think about yourself. It tells on Purim, the bachurim collected money for pilim, leiv la'achim. They didn't collect for yeshiva. They collected for an organization, Eretz Yisrael, which helped save bachurim, help children that they shouldn't get forkapped by the tzionim and taken away from Torah. They had people came from Taimon, people came from other countries, and there was an attitude of the government to try and take them, make them secular. And these people would go, and they would activists, and they would go, and they would infiltrate into the camps and take kids out, and they needed money. And that's what we raise money for, on Purim. Not for ourselves, not for our yeshiva, for some children in Eretz Yisrael who needed help. Pesach ben Zmanim, we raise money. For Chinuch Atzmoy, that there's schools in Eretz Yisrael, that they should have schools for these children. We had one more fundraising activity during the year for Tashbar. Tashbar was for the Chadorim in Yerushalayim, who didn't, we got no government money. And there was a fundraiser during the year that the Bachrim would do. Three fundraising activities for the Bachrim every year, none of them for the yeshiva. Because you need to be trained to think about Klal Yisrael. It's not standard fare nowadays. No. But even if a bacher goes on Purim, the collecting, you understand, it's not just you're collecting. It's a nice hechatims, etc. You're training yourself. The Stam Rav sent every one of his chassidim was required to go knock on doors and ask for stuff. There's a famous maisa, there's a big beer, Stam Rav chassid. It's embarrassing, you go knocking on doors for stuff. You know, I mean, I've done it. Not on Purim. The Purim is, you know, to help us, or on the nice wintry day, you know, when it's raining outside and it's cold, you know, they knock on the door and the guy opens the door and looks at you and shuts the door in your face. And you look inside and the dog is nice and comfortable and warm and you're stuck outside because, you know, a snorer, as they call us. So you don't want to do it. So he says, Rebbe, I will give the amount of money that everybody would raise to all your chassidim, I'll give it. He says, no, I'm not interested. Says, I can afford it. It says, you can afford it so much, buy yourself a different Rebbe. By me, you're going to learn what it means to stand by the door and to ask. You're going to learn what it means to be embarrassed. You're going to learn what it means to be uncomfortable and understand when the guy knocks the door, what he's going to feel like. You can think about the other person and feel with him. There's a Meister Meirachim from Meisel, from Lodz, that he came to Big Gvir in the middle of the winter. He was raising money for the firewood for the Aniyim. So the girl opened the door. He's wearing his like light dressing jacket. So he invites Rabbi Yochanan in. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's good that he stands over there outside. So the door's wide open. It's the middle of the Polish winter, which is freezing cold. The guy's in his light jacket. And Rabbi Yochanan is talking about, you know, this thing and that thing, you know. He says, Rabbi, come on. Says, no, it's good. It's good to stand here. Like after like 5 minutes, the fellow's turning blue. So Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, I want you to know what it feels like, what it means to have no heat in the middle of the winter. So when you give the firewood, you'll understand how to give. The godless Adam, the Rishash is Bittul Torah of two words. The ability to choose and to hold on to something and to hold on to it. The ability to have a goof which is so pure that the body itself chooses right and wrong. The ability to think about somebody else and not yourself. Put somebody else in the middle of your focus. That is the Yom Tov Purim. It's such godless Adam that it's Kedai Zokt, the Rambam, that to leave a mace lying by Bizoyan, that you should understand what it means, what you are. That's so important. You need to learn that lesson. So, just Lamaisa, it's such a phenomenal day. So, people... On that day, the person's going to miss davening. On that day, the person's not going to bench properly. On that day, the person's not going to hurt somebody else's feelings. On that day, just think about those words. It just doesn't make any sense. If this is what God, what Purim is, it's the day that you come early and you sit down and you're misbinding what it means that a human being has a relationship with his creator, and you have a taiva to have that relationship, and you daven, you said the words with excitement and with longing and with desire, not with kavana. Kavana means what the words mean. No, I'm not mentioning kavana. I'm just talking to God, talking to your creator, being excited to be there, singing Pesukei Zimra, not with a guitar with a song, with your heart. Your heartstrings are singing. That's Purim. Now, but you're going and you're collecting, and it's embarrassing, taka sometimes. And somebody says, "Come, you know what? Gate minish done. because I'm doing something which is so significant, thinking about what you want to be, who you want to be, expressing that besimcha, and making some real thoughts about is the direction you're going, where you want to be, what can I do to be different. That's the opportunity which is ahead of us. We should hop around and take advantage of that.